Welcome to Effective Parenting. The material contained in these tapes comes from their new book, Say Goodbye to Whining, Complaining, and Bad Attitudes in You and Your Kids. Honor is different than obedience. In this session, Scott and Joanne look at the difference and explain how valuable honor can be in any family.
It's funny how our attitudes about family change as we have more children. With the first child, we're so careful and thoughtful and anxious even about each thing that we did. One dad walked out of the hospital and said, "I can't believe they're letting us out of here with this baby. I have no idea what to do with them."
As children grow older and the next ones come along, parents often get a little bit more relaxed in their parenting and take a lot of things in stride. It's like this with the first baby. At the first sign of distress, a whimper or a frown, you pick up the baby. With your second baby, you pick up the baby when her wails threaten to wake up your firstborn. With a third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to rewind the mechanical swing. With your first baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes, color coordinate them, and fold them neatly into the baby's little bureau. With your second baby, you check to make sure the clothes are all clean and discard only the ones with the darkest stains. With the third baby, well, boys can wear pink, can't they? With your first baby, you take your infant to baby gymnastics, baby swim, and baby story hour. With your second baby, you take your infant to the co-op playgroup. And with the third baby, you take your infant to the supermarket and the dry cleaners. With your first baby, the first time you leave the house, you leave the baby with a sitter, you call home 5 times to check on the baby. With the second baby, just as you're walking out the door, you remember to leave a number where you can be reached. With your third baby, you leave instructions for the sitter to call you only if she sees blood. With your first baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at your baby. With your second baby, you spend a little bit of every day watching to be sure that your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. With your third baby, you spend a little bit of every day just hiding from the children.
These stories are funny in part because of the truth that lies behind them. We have ideas about what we want our family to be like. We have goals and expectations. Some are subconscious and others are clearly defined. Parents want to give their children an equal or better experience than they had when they were kids. They want to help their children to be smart or athletic or to be entrepreneurs. They want to have a family that's functioning as a team and providing friendships for each other. In short, most families today start out with positive hopes and expectations.
It's fun to listen to new parents as they talk about their babies. There's often those high hopes and excitedness with a new baby. A childbirth class reunion might sound something like this. These would be statements that you'd hear from around the room. "Look at Rachel's long fingers. I'll bet she'll play the piano when she grows up." "Well, this boy's going to be a great baseball player someday." "We're going to make some changes in our family. No TV for this kid, only good reading." "Yeah, and we're getting rid of all the junk food in our house. Anthony's going to grow up healthy." "Jay and I want to have lots of children, so Caleb will always have someone to play with."
High hopes and idealistic goals are part of every young family. New moms and dads look at this little boy or little girl and envision a family where cooperation reigns over self-centeredness, closeness overcomes competitiveness, and a joy-filled family is the inevitable result. Parents are determined to do whatever it takes to give their children an edge so they'll have a happy, healthy home. An interesting transition takes place, though, in many parents as their family grows and matures. When more children come or the family grows and takes shape, many of these same parents give up their idealistic goals and their positive vision in exchange for just survival skills. They just want to get through the day. It's not long before they can hardly wait for their children to go to kindergarten or graduate from high school or be out of the house. A parent's attitude seems to change as the work of parenting becomes more intense.
Why is it that eager, hopeful parents turn into frustrated, disillusioned parents in just a few years? If that same childbirth class had a 10-year reunion, the conversation might sound like this. "I wish I could get Rachel and Devin to pick up after themselves without grumbling. Nothing seems to work." "Yeah, Anthony's the same way. He gets angry when I ask him to do anything." "We've got a real problem in our house with arguing. They argue about everything. I don't know what to do. It's getting really discouraging." "Yeah, our kids bicker all the time. We've tried everything. I don't know what to do. I'm ready to give them boxing gloves and start charging admission." Navigating through the river of family life can be complex and can be quite a challenge. Many dangers and disasters are hidden just beneath the surface. Perpetual bad attitudes, dishonesty, bickering, anger are just a few of the struggles that families face.
As the family grows, Parents get very hungry for answers. What does it take to get my family in shape? Some parents are even anxious. They say to themselves, if I find the answers, will I be able to measure up? Even if success is possible, can I achieve it? We believe that the answer is yes, and much of it has to do with honor. Honor addresses the heart, not just behavior. Too often, parents get focused on the right actions, getting them down. They work hard to help their children look good on the outside. Inadvertently, these parents teach their children image management, the ability to appear clean and nice. But behavior change isn't enough. Honor deals with deeper issues in family life. The rewards are great as siblings learn to value each other, and both parents and children learn to respond in more honoring ways.
Mr. Porter is a history teacher at Centerville Middle School. He's had a lot of students come and go over the years, but one boy has stood out to him, Matt Carlson. Matt was a good student, the local paper boy. He was responsible and well-liked by others and seemed to be a wonderful example of success. Mr. Porter wanted to know why, so we stopped and asked him about it one day. I don't know. I'm just like all my brothers and sisters, Matt replied. There were actually 8 children in his family, and this intrigued Mr. Porter all the more. So he said, could I come home and meet your family sometime? Later that week, Matt took Mr. Porter home. As Mr. Porter watched the Carlson family interact, he began to notice that something was special about this family. He wondered if it had to do with the father's income, but then he discovered the father didn't make too much money. Yet all the children seemed happy. Love, unity, and cooperation filled the home. Mr. Porter said to Matt, explain this to me. You don't have all the things that other kids have, and yet you're happy. What do you attribute your success to? I don't know, unless it's honor. Honor? What do you mean? Well, ever since we were young, my parents have emphasized honor in our home. Later, Mr. Porter sat on the couch and talked with Mr. Carlson. Tell me more about this honor in your home, he began. And this is what Mr. Carlson said. Well, we found that families are made up of imperfect people. From infants to adults, each person has a tendency to make selfish choices. We've also learned, though, that for every form of selfishness in a family, there's an honor-based solution. Honor thinks about what would please someone else and gives more than what's expected. It's putting someone else's needs above your own. Honor values others in tangible ways. Believe it or not, children can learn honor, and so can parents. Confrontation is still necessary and discipline still takes work, but when parents focus on developing honor in their family, they see amazing results. That visit made a marked impression on Mr. Porter. Something special was going on in the Carlson home. Matt's parents may not be able to buy their children the finest things in life or enable them to get involved in the latest fads, but they were giving their family something even more valuable, a sense of family honor. Each member of that family learned how to value others and enjoy them. That did a lot for the family as a whole. It also helped each individual to be successful in life.
Have you ever met a family like the Carlsons? When you're with them, you just kind of feel relaxed or encouraged. Families can thrive today, and in fact, after studying the family and working with hundreds of families, we've come to understand why some do much better than others, why some are successful. Success is more than just having 2 cars, a dog, and 2.5 kids. It has to do with the family members, their character development, and how equipped they are to relate to others in the family. Success has to do with the family members feeling close to each other. It deals with an atmosphere in the home where children and adults are able to make mistakes and learn from them, to grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally with each other.
Even families that have broken apart or have suffered significant wounds can learn and grow. They can develop qualities necessary to be successful. Single-parent families, blended families, and reconstructed families are all finding real solutions through honor. Honor gives moms, dads, brothers, and sisters a new way of thinking about themselves and others. Problems like whining, complaining, and bad attitudes are replaced with more honoring ways to communicate.
What we're trying to do is help families think differently. Parents think differently, young people think differently, children think differently. We've tried to do that using this concept of honor. We've tried to define honor in very simple terms, simple enough so that a preschooler can grab onto this definition, but the definition itself would apply to teens or even adults. We've defined honor this way. Honor means treating people special, doing more than what's expected, and having a good attitude. Honor changes families. You live differently. To illustrate that, we want to look at three different families and how honor changed their families. Family number one is the McDonald's. The mom, Kathleen, said this, "I was so focused on my daughter Jill's complaining that I didn't realize how much I nagged. Seeing our negative patterns discouraged me. I began to make changes, though, and became more honoring. I was then able to show Jill how to honor me in return. Honor has done a tremendous amount for our relationship."
Kathleen McDonald is a single mom, and her daughter Jill is 4 years old. Jill had a problem with complaining. "I can't find my jump rope. I'm bored. Nobody likes me. I don't want this sandwich," and on and on. Her mother had developed a bad habit of nagging. "You're going to be late. Close your mouth. Your shirt's not tucked in. You're going to be late. Don't take so much food. Don't talk with your mouth full. You're going to be late. Sit up straight. You're dropping crumbs. You've got jam on your shirt. Lean over. You're going to be late." Kathleen didn't like what she saw in herself, and she used honor to make some changes. Jill needed firmness, but Kathleen knew there must be a better way to apply it. By setting limits, giving firm instruction, and following through, Kathleen was able to stop nagging. Learning how to parent Jill in a more honoring way brought harmony in their relationship. Kathleen also taught Jill that complaining was dishonoring. No one likes to hear that kind of moaning and groaning. She said, and she helped Jill to talk in ways that are more constructive, to talk about problems in a way that's helpful and not just complaining. Mom and daughter learned how to honor and how honor could improve the way they talk to each other. Honor helped them develop a more enjoyable relationship together.
Honor changes people. It changes the way they think. It changes the way they act. It changes the way they treat others. Honor motivates parents to treat children differently. It motivates children to treat their parents differently. It motivates siblings to relate to each other in a different way. Honor builds an incredibly strong bond, which in turn benefits all members of the family. Honor adds that little bit of grace, which transforms family life. It's other-centered and results in stronger relationships. It's not as concerned with protecting a reputation as it is with doing what's right. Honor is motivating. It's contagious. It treats individuals as special. It brings joy to others, but has a special reward for those who give it. Honor is like the oil in the machine. Gets the job done more easily, more smoothly, with less friction.
Let's take a look at family number two, the Sawyer family. John Sawyer is the dad, and he said this, "Our sons, Ross and Derek, were always fighting. They seemed to compete over everything. An atmosphere of tension dominated our family. Karen and I were frustrated. We didn't know what to do. I'm amazed at the dramatic changes we've seen in our home since we've focused on honor."
In the Sawyer family, Ross was 14 years old and Derek was 12, and they bickered continually. Derek often compared himself to Ross, and Ross continually teased and tormented his younger brother. Car rides and mealtimes were the battlegrounds for vicious arguments. Dad and Mom were disheartened by the tension in their home, and they decided to make some changes. And they wanted to use honor to do that. So they first made some observations about what was going on in their family, just listening to what their sons were saying. After they made some observations, they identified what the problems actually were that they saw in their sons. Then they met with the boys individually, and they developed a plan. And they said, "When I hear it, I'm going to ask you to do it again. And we're going to try it to say the same thing you're trying to communicate, but we want to do it in an honoring way." Now, although it took a lot of work and much time, the Sawyer family began to make significant changes. Most importantly, Dad and Mom targeted their discipline in productive ways. Honor helps parents know how to target their discipline so they know what kinds of things to say and how to say them in order to start motivating and bringing the change in family life. Some parents believe that the negative behavior that they see in their children is simply a stage they'll grow out of. Unfortunately, these parents find out that instead of growing out of bad patterns, children actually grow into them.
Children are not the only ones who struggle with selfishness. Parents are often amazed at their own selfish tendencies. One dad put it this way, "I used to think I was a pretty righteous person. Then I got married. That required sacrifice and revealed a lot of my own selfishness. But that was nothing compared to having kids. I now wrestle with selfishness on a much larger scale." Children and parents alike battle self-centeredness in the course of family life.
God knew that selfishness would hinder relationships, so he provided honor as the solution. Romans 12:10 says, "Honor one another above yourselves." When self-centeredness increases, it's no wonder that certain behaviors like yelling, arguing, teasing, defiance, bad attitudes, bickering, and anger become a lifestyle. Family members tend to further respond to each other in negative ways, developing unhealthy patterns. Unchecked selfishness creates multiple problems, resulting in tension and distance in relationships.
Let's look at one more family. Family number three is the Barclay family. Diana's a mother, and she said this, "My family was pulled in so many different directions that we were drifting apart. It seemed like we didn't know each other anymore. Now I can see the importance of honor. Things are different. It's changed the way we plan our schedules and the activities we choose. We're enjoying our family more, and we're growing closer together."
Family number three, the Barclays, grew into a very busy lifestyle. When the children were younger, the family enjoyed many special times together. Now, however, mom and dad feel like taxi drivers, taking children from here to there, from there to here, and back here again. The family rarely ate dinner together anymore, and quality time, if you could call it that, took place in the car. Mom and dad realized that changes needed to occur for the family to be close again, and they wanted to use honor to do it. So they used honor to explain to their children the importance of setting aside Sunday dinner and a family night each week. This would require saying no to some very good things, but the Barclays used honor to protect their family from the pressures which might otherwise have pulled them apart.
As parents watch their children grow, they discover that family life isn't as simple as they had imagined. Some find that they do quite well with younger years, but then they hit a wall when their children get older. One young mom was lamenting about her three-year-old, saying, "I wish I could do something about all this whining and complaining." The other mom, who had two teenagers, replied, "I wish all I had to deal with was whining and complaining." Over the years, families develop and their relationships become more complicated. Parents may just give up and settle for just going through the motions of parenting. One mom said this, "I have three things on my to-do list each day. Get up, survive, and go to bed." Some parents have lost their joy. Their positive vision for family life has evaporated, but it doesn't have to be that way. And here's what's happening behind the scenes. As the family size increases, the number of relationships increases as well. With just a husband and wife, there are two relationships to consider. The husband to the wife and the wife to the husband, two relationships. When one child enters the family, though, the number of relationships increases. Instead of two relationships, there are now six relationships. We've still got dad to mom and mom to dad. Now we've got mom to child, child to mom. We've got dad to child and child to dad. Six relationships instead of two. Now when a second child comes into the family, the number of relationships goes from six to 12. That's a lot to deal with. It's a big increase.
Carrie and I adopted Megan and Elizabeth into our family. They came to us when they were about 4 years old. We already had five people in our family, which represented 20 relationships, so you have five people each relating to four others. When we had these other two people, Megan and Elizabeth, join our family and become part of it, the relationships increased to 42. Now we had seven people, each relating to six others. The number of relationships more than doubled overnight. It was a staggering thing to think about, let alone try to manage and realize. It hit us pretty hard on one meal that we had at first. Carrie liked to make your own tacos meal, where she put the ingredients out and everybody took what they wanted to put on their tacos. And I remember that one of those first meals when Carrie made that. We had five kids. She was sitting on one end of the table. I was on the other end. Five kids and 10 ingredients in between us. We prayed, said grace, and then the amen seemed to be the buzzer, which said go, and all the kids wanted everything from here and there, and Carrie and I were both standing up trying to help everybody and make everybody happy, and Carrie looked at me and said, "This is the last time we have this meal for a while," which made a lot of sense. It just struck us that as families grow and develop, relating often becomes much more complicated.
Now we want to make a distinction here as we talk about honor. We want to talk about honor and respect and compare them a little bit. And then I'm going to talk about honor and obedience and compare those two words a little bit. When families think about honor, they often restrict their thinking to respectful behavior, being polite, courteous, and having good manners. Now that's a rather narrow understanding, and it's only a small portion of what honor actually is. Respectful behavior, although a subset of honor, is incomplete in and of itself. Susie learned manners at an early age. What a nice girl, people would say. Susie had learned acceptable behavior. She learned good manners and was polite. But as she got older, she rebelled against those rules, finding them empty and overly restrictive. Teaching respect is not enough. The words respect and honor both describe ways of esteeming someone else or exalting them. But as with most synonyms, however, there are shades of difference which highlight the meaning of each word. In this case, those differences are important.
The Greek words used in the New Testament illustrate the difference between respect and honor. In the scriptures, the Greek word often translated respect is phobos, which is where we get our English word phobia from. At its root, it means to fear. Respect is outward, focusing on a person's position or on the power of an office. People respect the policeman or the lifeguard because of their authoritative position. When only respect is emphasized in a family, it leads to outer conformity, false intimacy, and eventually distant relationships. The Greek word often translated honor in the New Testament comes from timē, which means worth or value. It's one thing to respect or fear God because of his tremendous power, and yet another thing to honor or value him because of those qualities. Worshippers give God glory and honor and praise because they value him. Honor comes when you recognize a person's worth or value. Respect focuses on behavior. Honor focuses on the heart. Respect acknowledges a person's position, while honor attaches worth to that position. Respect teaches manners and proper behavior in the presence of others. Honor teaches something deeper, an appreciation of that person. Respect can be an outward technique to make a family look good on the outside, but honor builds the hidden bonds which provide great strength and long-lasting unity. It's one thing to obey the crossing guard out of respect for his position. It's yet another to show honor to him because you know him as a friend.
Now, although we're making a contrast here between honor and respect, we're not saying that honor is good and respect is bad. We're saying both are necessary and they both have their place. When children are young, they learn respectful behavior. But as they grow, they can also develop a heart response that we're calling honor. It's good to teach respectful behavior, but it's important that you not stop there. Honor adds a deeper dimension to relationships.
We want to make another distinction, and that's the distinction between honor and obedience, or following directions. Most parents recognize the value of teaching their children how to follow directions, but few teach their children honor. When parents see this difference, they often say, "Yes, that's it. That's what I'm missing in our family." Obedience and honor can be defined this way. Obedience is doing what someone says right away without being reminded.
We define honor as treating people special, doing more than what's expected, and having a good attitude.
God knew what he was doing when he gave these two instructions to children in Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, if children learn obedience and honor, they also develop the qualities necessary to become successful adults. Because hidden within those qualities are a number of different benefits. The difference here is between a mediocre employee and an excellent one. Someone who's learned these concepts of obedience and honor in their home also learns a number of valuable skills that they can take out into the workplace and put them into practice.
When children learn obedience, they learn how to do a task without being reminded. They learn how to report back, to do a job they'd rather not do, to follow directions, and to complete a job without having to be watched. They learn responsibility, willingness to serve, and a faithfulness to do a good job.
So those are skills that any employer would love to have in an employee, and those skills are taught through obedience in the home. There are other skills that employers are looking for, and they come when parents teach the concept of honor. Honor also has several skills hidden within it. Having a good attitude, doing more than what's expected, seeing what needs to be done and doing it without being asked, encouraging others, contributing to a nutritious atmosphere are all learned through honor. Both obedience and honor are important to help the family become a strong place of safety and nurture. If you want your children to fly straight, you teach them obedience. If you want them to fly high, you teach them honor.
Ephesians 6, 2, and 3 reveal benefits for the child who learns to show honor. The verses read this way, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, so that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Honor provides a foundational quality in children that sets them up to be happy, joyful, and to enjoy life. honors treating people special. It's doing more than what's expected and having a good attitude. It involves surprising others by thinking of their needs and desires above your own. It means acting and talking in a manner that pleases others even when they're not around.
The scriptures teach children to honor their parents. Honor gets you focused on someone else instead of yourself. It teaches you how to consider the needs of others, not just your own. Learning honor as a hidden reward of joy. People who show honor enjoy life. When honor is present, family life improves. Parents get along better with children. Children get along better with parents. Children get along better with each other, and the relationships are enhanced.
Parents who only focus on behavior change are devastated when their children reveal unresolved issues of the heart as they grow older. The child who steals the family car, the teenage girl who gets pregnant, or the teenage boy who gets involved with drugs all have one thing in common: a heart problem that's developed over a long period of time. And we have a growth chart at home on the wall, and the boys love to be measured to see how tall they've grown. But the real important measurement of a child's growth is to put a tape around their heart and see what's growing in their heart. The heart involves things like thoughts, intentions, motivations, desires, fantasies. You see, children play out foolishness in their hearts long before it comes out in their actions. Now, many parents discipline with a two-step process. They identify a wrong behavior that they want to change. And they do a number of different things, discipline strategies, to get the child to do the right behavior. So we've got a wrong behavior, and over here we've got a right behavior. And the parent is working to get the child from one place to the other, and they employ all kinds of strategies. But it's a two-step process, going from wrong behavior over to right behavior. When the child gets to the right behavior, the parent feels like they've done their job. They've completed their responsibility because the child is doing the right behavior.
We believe that good discipline requires two additional steps. So let's say that Karen has a hard time. She's a teenager. She has a hard time getting... You ask her to do the dishes, and she whines and complains. That's the wrong behavior. Now, what we want to do is, first, we want to come down here to a heart level. So we could draw a line here in the middle, which would separate the behavior from the heart. On this bottom level here, we identify what is the negative heart issue. Well, it may be that we have a selfishness in a child or a lack of flexibility. It could be a number of different things. And with each child, it may be different. The number of children could respond in a negative way for different reasons. But we look at what is the negative heart issue that we need to address. We find out what that is. Then we ask, what is the heart issue we want them to develop? Maybe it's an unselfishness. Maybe it's a flexibility that we want them to have in their schedule. Maybe it's a gratefulness, be thinking about others. Whatever the quality is, we then would put it in this circle. And then from there, we come up to the right behavior, which would be that either Karen needs to just do the dishes without complaining, or she needs to appeal to her mom or her dad in a gracious or honoring way. So what we're talking about is four steps in the discipline process, a more complete process instead of just two.
The wise parent looks beyond behavior to a deeper level. This involves a child's attitudes and motivations. The goal of discipline is not only to get the child to act correctly, but to be the right kind of person, to think correctly, to address that heart level. Jesus criticized the Pharisees for being hypocrites. This is what he said: "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean." You see, God is more concerned with the heart of a child. Parents may look at behavior, but God looks at the heart.
Joey's preschool teacher told him to sit down, and Joey said no. The teacher, not wanting to be outdone, went over to Joey and said, "You sit down." Joey sat down, looked up at his teacher, and said, "I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside." Too many of our children change their behavior in response to our discipline, but they haven't really changed on the inside. They're still standing up or disobeying on the inside in their heart.
When you teach children to change their hearts, you'll see them make attitude adjustments, not just behavior change. You'll get to the root of disobedience and immaturity, and you'll help your children make lifelong changes. Giving a consequence isn't the end of the parent's responsibility. Sometimes the consequence just gets the child's attention, allowing the parent then to address some deeper heart-level issues. Honor focuses on the heart and opens up new avenues of opportunity for parents. Honor goes deeper and helps children and parents make significant changes in the way they relate to one another. So what can you do with this whole idea of honor? It all sounds good, but how can you implement it in your family? We're going to spend a whole session talking about how we can teach children to honor, how parents can honor their children. Honor changes relationships because it addresses the way that we interact, how we handle conflict, limit setting, disagreements, disappointments. When you relate differently, people feel valued. Then they live up to the value that you're placing on them.
I want to tell you an African story which illustrates the concept of honor in family life. Kamau lived in a small, poor Kikuyu village in Kenya, East Africa. He had one daughter left at home who was approaching marrying age. Her name was Njoki. He hoped that one day she would marry, but had doubts because she was plain, thin, and not very attractive. Kikuyu custom required the prospective groom to give a dowry to the parents of the bride-to-be. In this poor village, though, dowries were small. A few thin goats or one scrawny cow would be typical payment for a young woman. An exceptionally beautiful or talented girl might bring as many as 5 cows, but the father of this young woman would be happy with a chicken. One day, a Kikuyu man named Mahoro came into the village to do some work for the government. He was only there for a month, but during that time, he met and fell in love with Njoki. He told her he would like to come back and visit her again sometime. She agreed, but when he didn't return for several weeks and she heard no word, she began to give up hope. A month later, a few guests came to visit Kamau and his wife. Mahoro had come with his parents and a friend. They spoke with Njoki's parents and told them of Mahoro's desire to marry her. They asked what dowry might be required. Kamau feared that he might overstate the price and lose the husband for his daughter. "You bring what you think she's worth to you." As his guests left, Kamau had hoped that his daughter might get married after all. A few weeks later, Mahoro came into the village with 30 goats and 20 cows. Kamau was shocked at the herds of animals and couldn't believe what he saw. "Why have you brought so many animals?" he said. Mahoro was beaming. "She is worth that much to me, and even more." That day, Mahoro and Njoki rode away as all the villagers stood in amazement. Some even laughed at themselves, thinking that Mahoro got a bad deal. 2 years later, Mahoro and Njoki returned to the village to visit her family and friends. As they rode into town, people couldn't believe what they saw. Mahoro seemed to be with a different woman, beautiful, dressed in fine clothes, confident, with her head held high. Njoki had become a different person. She spoke with confidence and was attractive both inside and out. Mahoro not only paid an expensive price for his wife, but he also honored her. He treated his wife as a 20-cow wife. She responded by becoming even more valuable, and Njoki was transformed through honor.
It's amazing what happens to people when we honor them and treat them with honor. In the rest of the series, we're going to talk about helping your children learn to honor their parents. We're also going to talk about teaching children to honor each other. But before we go on, let's stop and ask a question. How are you doing in the honor department? When you honor people, you experience joy in your life.
We develop habits in our lives. Many of them are dishonoring habits. Sarcasm, angry outbursts, yelling, nagging are just a few. How are you doing on the honor scale? Would your children or your husband or wife characterize you as a person of honor? Most of us quickly see that where the areas where we could change. That change often seems difficult because we develop patterns. In fact, some people believe that their family has made them the way they are. "They've trained me to be angry. If they just listen to what I say, then I wouldn't have to yell at them," one mom said. Well, there are better ways, and it starts with this idea of value or honor, treating people special. That can be done while at the same time having firm limits and saying no.
When you look at your family, what do you see? Is it messy areas around the house that you wish would be cleaned up? Or maybe you see busyness from your husband or wife when you'd like conversation or attention. Take time to focus on those things which are valuable about the others in your family. Then think of creative ways to express them. Watch how others respond to you when you treat them like a 20-cow wife or a 20-cow teenager. Every day you have the opportunity to honor your family, building and strengthening relationships.
We often take others for granted. It was Jesus who said, "Only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor." Families tend to be a place where people take each other for granted. Jesus recognized that. There's the phrase, "Familiarity breeds contempt." That says the same thing. We get to know each other so well that honor tends to go by the wayside. One day a man came home and found his house a disaster. The kids were still in their pajamas outside playing in the mud. Empty food boxes and wrappers littered the house. Dishes were on the counter, dog food all over the floor, and a broken glass under the table. Toys and clothes cluttered the playroom, and a lamp was lying on its side. He headed up the stairs, stepping over toys, looking for his wife. He was worried that she was sick or that something worse might have happened to her. He found her in the bedroom, still in bed with her pajamas on, reading a book. She looked up at him, smiled, and said, "How was your day?" "What in the world happened here today?" he said. She again smiled and answered, "You know every day when you come home from work and ask me what I did today?" "Yes." "Well, today I didn't do it." We tend to take each other for granted. Honor identifies those special things that make family members unique and special.
Honor is like giving a gift. And to help you remember this idea of honor, we want to give someone a gift today.
All right, Jim, this is a surprise. Come on up here. We got a gift for you. Come on. Now, we're going to give you a gift in part to remember this whole idea. Why don't you come on over and stand over here? And the reason we're giving you a gift is because honor is a gift. And one of the things that we encourage parents to do is respond in a way to their kids that demonstrates, hey, boy, they're delighted. And it's the same way when you open a gift. We get to see your face when you open it. So we're going to ask you to open this gift right now so we can kind of watch your face, just as an illustration of how honor works in a family. What is it? Dirt. Oh, yes.
Yeah, just what I need.
Just what you need is a gift of dirt. The reason we gave you that is because sometimes in families, we have a situation where people treat each other like dirt. And it's like giving gifts of dirt when we really like to be giving gifts of honor. Now, I'm a little embarrassed, and I know you're a little embarrassed, and other people are embarrassed, but we want to give you a real gift. So I'm going to let you open up this one now.
Seeds?
Seeds to put in the dirt, right?
I would actually use that dirt.
All right, a couple chocolate bars.
Thank you.
It's all yours. And we gave you two of them because we want you to keep one for yourself and think of somebody else that you can honor with the other one, and so you can be passing on honor to someone else today.
Thank you.
All right.
You know, we all wish that we could receive a gift, but instead, sometimes we receive hurtful words. It's like receiving dirt. In this session, we're asking you to evaluate the way that you relate to others in your family. If you start here, you'll be more equipped to teach others in the family how to develop honor. It's a family learning experience. As parents, we're learning how to honor our children. Children can learn to honor each other. They can learn to honor us. But we need to be working on it as a family. And sometimes we'll fail. And that's okay. We need to apologize and keep working at it. We can be growing together as a family, developing more honoring patterns among us. As we move further down the path toward honor, we'll see the benefits and experience the joy that God has promised. Honor brings its own rewards.
This concludes this session. We trust that you have benefited from the Ministry of Effective Parenting. If you would like information about other resources available through Effective Parenting, just call area code 609-771-8002, or you can call toll free 1-800-771-8334. Thank you very much for joining us for this session, and may God richly bless you and your family.